You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm super eager and excited to chat with Guy Bauer. Guy is the founder and creative director at Umlaut. He's going to pronounce that correctly when he gets on. It's a B2B video marketing agency. His agency specializes in helping B2B brands simplify their complex sales messages with video. Guy and his team conceptualize, script, and oversee the video campaigns that make the complex simple and sexy, transforming ordinary businesses into extraordinary brands. Guy is the author of Death to Corporate Video, and his biggest regret in life is being a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Welcome to the show, Guy. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Rob. And it's, it's Umlaut.
Umlaut.
Umlaut, yes.
Before I even hit the record button, I had the name Umlaut in my head because of the two dots that you hold over the U. But so for those who don't know who you are or your background, let's give them a brief overview.
Sure. I am originally from New Jersey, somehow wound up a Bengals fan. I started my agency in 2010 and started as a traditional video production company and started with a $50 puppy video and grew it to its present form. And in 2018, really switched from being a video production company to being an agency that pushes brands to not make the same normal, quote unquote, corporate videos that B2B brands, are quite apt to make all the time. And the way we figured out that point of view was 8 years from 2010 to 2018 of making those videos over and over and over, the boring corporate talking head, stock filled videos. And after 8 years, I just got sick of it. And I was like, no, we can't do it. And yeah. So we started Umlaut and have been confusing people with our name ever since.
Yeah, I'm one of them. So I went to your site and I encourage our listeners to go to the site, Umlaut. I'll put it in the description down below. But the top video, the video on the top is just a short little snippet. And there's a lady sitting in the boardroom and she says, corporate videos are just so boring. And you see a guy writing on the whiteboard and blah, blah, blah. And she turns around and says, what are you writing? He goes, I have no idea. It was just funny. Anyway, so the topic of our conversation is customer loyalty, brand loyalty. We talk about this till the cows come home. So the first question that I want to ask you, Guy, is as a consumer yourself, what does loyalty mean to you as a consumer?
I'm so big into loyalty. And as a consumer, it doesn't mean that I have feelings like that I'm going to if the CEO of Southwest is lost somewhere, I'm going to go out there and try to find him, in a mountain or something. Like, I don't have love for these brands. There's no love. There's no feelings. What loyalty is to me is the absence of active decision-making. Southwest Airlines has impressed me so much over the years with what they do and how they do it, that they have alleviated the pressure of having to make decisions on which airline I prefer. That's it. All they've done is relieve me of a decision. And that's, the word is loyalty, but it's really, to me, is decision relief.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the single biggest thing that I enjoy about Southwest is the no change fee. It's just, you don't have to think about it, things change. And the airlines made billions of dollars in change fees, obviously pre-COVID. Now everybody kind of does the change fee thing, but billions. And that's just, it's kind of disgraceful in my opinion, other than providing the services that they should be providing. Now, that said, they are starting to do what everybody else is doing, and that is charging you for extra things like, booking early or like picking your seat and things like that. But it is what it is. I think they just need to be competitive. But I like the fact that you can just, it's going to be two bags free each time. It's not another $30 like all these other airlines are doing. So let me ask you this, though. So in addition to Southwest, can you think of a story that would either be pro loyalty for you, in particular, a particular story as to why you are loyal to a brand or not loyal to a brand, something that they may have done that our listeners could then think about and say, maybe that we shouldn't be doing that. Have any stories there?
Yeah, I would go. I always like the negative for some reason. I'm from New Jersey. I don't know. And I think this is how to not make people loyal. And it's really just a lesson in empathy. So there's a restaurant chain, I won't name which, and it's one of those sandwich, like you line up and you know, they make this stuff in front of you, right? It's not Subway. Anyway, I used to go to this place over and over and over, and there was a constant layer of dust building up behind their computer monitors. So the sandwich shop has the monitors so that they can, you know, the sandwich people right. can read the monitors. And then there's like an articulating arm. And every time I would go to this place, the dust would just keep building and building and building. And from the customer's point of view, like it was very obvious there's just dust and gross and it's hanging right over the food. And all they had to do was someone just needed to like, hey, what does it look like from the customer's point of view in our sandwich line? And yeah. they would have very clearly seen the dust. But anyway, one day the dust layer was always consistent, but one day in the middle of the articulating arm, some dust was missing, which means I knew that it fell off into the food and it wasn't cleaned. It fell off into, and I was like, all right, I'm done. But it was simple. All they had to do was, heck, just once a week, send someone from the store through the line and say, what is it like when a customer walks through here? Like, where is everything and how does it feel to be one of our customers? To me, that's not that hard to do. And they failed in that regard. Yeah. So at our company, we have a checklist that we do every quarter, and it's, we have a service called Ruby. They answer our phones. So we call them. Are they saying our name right? Are they answering like they said they would? And we have this checklist, and all from the customer's point of view. And to me, that's how you can, you know, be on that, the path to loyalty.
And who dusts in your commissary in the office there?
No, there isn't dusting going on in here.
That's funny. So let me ask you this then. So as a marketing professional, right, you're in the business of helping people build brands, obviously brands that are going to become recognizable or more recognizable than they already are. I mean, I saw the list of some of the brands that you work with, and there's some pretty big names. But getting back to what you said in that sandwich shop, I think it does start at the corporate level of creating that sort of structure that says you need to come through here at a certain time period and interval and make sure that from a customer's standpoint, it does this. And I think there's a lot of companies that you can speak of that do that. So when it comes to some of the things that you do in your business of creating B2B videos, and the brand in and of itself is, I know it's B2B, but it's still recognizable on the B2C side, obviously. So what are some of the things that you could do to help people create and maintain more customer loyalty in, mm-hmm. in the things that you do for them?
Well, a lot of people think of marketing as stopping once the sale is made. You know, that it's awareness, consideration, decision, sale done, goodbye, marketing's out. Mm-hmm. And they fail to recognize the importance of that stop after the sale, which is loyalty. I'll give you a great example of a brand doing it right. Winnebago. A month ago, we rented a Winnebago like van, conversion van, a Sprinter van. And normally, I'm a first-time RVer, never rented an RV. So I was anticipating just making a lot of mistakes. Like, you know, and there's the cassette thing with everyone's, you know, stuff. You know, there's a bathroom on board, gray water. Where does fresh water, electricity? How does all that stuff work? Winnebago actually makes a little microsite that is very easily loaded onto your phone. And it's just a bunch of videos and they're all short. It's like how to empty your gray water tank. You watch a guy for 50 seconds tell you how to empty your gray water tank. And then throughout the trip, I was like, the generator isn't turning on. And there's a video, problems with your generator, and boom, problem solved. What does that do? That it just makes me loyal to Winnebago because they will not let me fail. They gave me resources through the medium of video to make my trip enjoyable. Instead of problem solving, they did all the problem solving for me through video.
That's great. I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's often said that marketing is obviously way more than sales. We know that for sure. It's not just creating the awareness. It's every touch point. So when someone calls and they hear the proper pronunciation of your organization, they know that the care has been taken. You know, when I drive around town and I see guys pick up truck, right? And it's all shitty and it looks terrible. And I'm thinking he's representing his company. He's got the logo on the side of the company. And you're just thinking, all right, if it's a slipshod type of vehicle, how good could his service actually be? But you know, and you might not think one has something to do with the other. The guy's a plumber, all right? He could fix pipes, I get that. But if he doesn't take care of his vehicle, he doesn't have the invoicing done in such a way that it's easy to see, easy to pay, it just makes it more complicated and I'll choose somewhere else. So I have an electrician here, the guy's gold. He gets it at every level. And the guy, he's professional. He goes above and beyond every time he's here to do something for me. You know, so it's those little things that people overlook is what really creates brand loyalty.
It's all in the margins. And I could give you our little formula, if you'll indulge me on how we, okay. So how we have a customer loyalty score that we track every week here at Umalt. And what we track are what's called PUFs, positive unsolicited feedback. And basically that's a client. It's essentially listening to clients instead of asking, hey, how do you like us? It's us listening. And when we get feedback, we score it into two different buckets. It's the what, meaning, hey, your video is awesome, it gave us sales, or the how. Working with you was so easy and such a pleasure. You're so nice. So many people just think that sandwich shop made the mistake of thinking that we're just going for sandwiches. They put all their pressure on the what, the sandwich. My theory is that you actually, on a scale of 100 points, of 100 being perfect customer experience, most people think that it's 100% what, or maybe 80% what and 20% how. My theory, it's 50-50. You're judged 50% on what you do and 50% on how you do it. Because in the absence, like if you're a pool cleaning or a plumber, right? Odds are your customers, even if you're the best plumber in the world, they're not pros into plumbing. They don't know that you could have used a 3/4 and you did the right thing by using the right plumb bob. I don't know any of that stuff, right? Like your customers aren't experts in what you do. You know what they are experts though? In how you do it. If you show up dirty, late, smelly, or you can't send an invoice right, or it's hard to pay. Customers actually can see all the how stuff way better than they can see the what stuff. So it's 50 points what, 50 points how. That's our little theory.
I love that. That's awesome. I've never heard that before, but it does resonate with me because it's how you do something does reflect how good your service could be. I mean, it, you know, what it is generic. You know, the guy, like That's you said, right. Fixing the plumbing, anybody can fix the plumbing. Right. Some guy, he's good at it, but how he does it and how he represents himself is the key. I love it. That's great. So let me ask you this. What about innovation? How do you think about I mean, I know over the last 8 years or 10 years in your business, things have transpired into this new, I don't want to call it a medium. It's obviously still video, but the way you think about things now, are there some old school potential customers that you speak to that are just like, nope, this is the way we want it. You know, so anything innovative is a curse word. Do you have any scenarios like that?
In terms of pushing clients to be innovative,
yes.
Or yeah, I mean, I think what we do is, I mean, I'm not sure if this is the answer you're looking for, but what we do is, I think as a brand, we have to be ourselves. I always show our clients, I talk about Alexander Hamilton versus Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr wanted to be liked by all. Even after we won the war, he wasn't going to pick sides. Even after we won the war, he's like, I got to see how this shakes out. He didn't want to make any decisions. He didn't want to polarize at all. He wanted to be liked by all. Alexander Hamilton was the exact opposite. He didn't care who he offended. He had to speak his mind. So many companies and decision makers and business leaders actually err on the side of Aaron Burr. They want to not offend anyone. But by doing that, they actually never ingratiate themselves to anyone. There's a great line, Herb Kelleher from Southwest Airlines. A woman kept writing him and writing him, complaining about how Southwest doesn't have seat assignments and I don't like your airline. And he wrote her back one day and he was like, "Dear Miss Krabby Pants, we'll miss you, Herb." Or it's a Krabby Pants, whatever it was. Like, and that was it. And it, and he wasn't afraid to say, Southwest is polarizing. That's right. We are us. But that's how he gets, that's how Southwest got loyalty from people like me, because he polarized.
Right.
Whereas the big generic airlines, they don't want to offend anyone. So there's no like loyalty for those, because right. they just don't make any decisions.
Yeah. Southwest is the low fare airline. I listened
that's
to a
it.
Story. I think it was, I forget which book I was listening to. And the, it was a similar story about that. And someone came to Herb Kelleher and said, you know, there were some people that would enjoy a light snack on the flight from Dallas to Tennessee or whatever. And he's like, will that make us the low fare airline? He said, no, the answer is no. You know what I mean? That's not what we do. We do one thing. We move people from one place to the other as cheaply as possible.
That's it. You know,
and as graciously as possible. And I think they do a great job of it, for sure.
Well, and if you think about Southwest, so the beauty of Southwest was they said, all right, we're going to be cheap. You're only going to get peanuts. Because I think it has to do with weight. So I think the suggestion was people like Snickers bars. Can't we do Snickers bars? And he was like, no, the weight would drive costs up. But what Southwest did say was, well, what's free? What's free is that we can have our customer service reps, i.e. our flight attendants, be nice and let them be themselves. And that's free. So while paying little to Southwest, you still get flight attendants who are nice.
Yes.
And like gate agents who are just friendly, because they've invested in like things that don't have hard costs. It's all soft.
Yeah. I just saw a story this morning. In fact, there was a flight attendant on a Southwest flight and there was a woman up front with a baby, a little 2-year-old that was crying incessantly and just wouldn't stop, brought him into the back and he started blowing bubbles to, you know, like regular little bubbles to keep the kid entertained. It was, I mean, again, things like that are above and beyond. And that's, but you know, so getting to that point, it starts from the top. It starts from the directive of the leaders. You know, I use Apple as an example too. As big as a company as Apple is, I can get them on the phone, someone on the phone who speaks in my language. And that's no offense to someone that's from India. I don't mean it in that respect. I mean, from a standpoint of they understand what I'm talking about. It's not a generic type of thing. Well, I'm not really sure. I can get back to somebody else. Or they're going to answer the phone and be able to solve my problem if it takes them an hour. For a $1 trillion company, that's remarkable. And well, I think that's the reason that they have as powerful a brand as they do.
Absolutely. And I think it goes back to, it's not just what Apple does, it's how they do it. And that's where Steve Jobs, you know, like when you put your case, I'm holding up my iPhone 12 Pro. When you put the iPhone case on, it fits perfectly. And then it lights up with the color of the case that you put on. I mean, that is, there's, why do that? That's how, and that's driving the idea in my head that Apple is high quality. They're looking out for me. They've thought of everything. These are all in the subtext. Yes. And but they are, make no mistake, they are extremely conscious about their decisions in how they do things.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think Tesla is trying to be that same way. I mean, he's a little bit of a showman, but in the sense of, you know, building what seemingly is a great product. I mean, there'll be a bunch of naysayers and things like that, but, you know, to start a complete category from scratch, so to say, and I'm sure there's, I don't know the full story of the amount of funding that he received from the government and blah, 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 but to create that sort of brand feel, when you go to a Tesla dealership, if you even call it that, a store, to go to test drive one, the people are just nice. They're just like, hey, let's go for a ride. You know, I mean, and people fall in love with their vehicles. They don't have to sell them on it. You know, that's probably one of it.
The little things like ludicrous speed and the new plaid edition. I mean, references to Spaceballs. I mean, because if you know, you know. Yeah. And you just, it's because he knows also Ford just came out with their electric vehicle. BMW has theirs. I mean, the competition is coming. What's going to make you choose Tesla over the rest is that kind of imprinting that they're doing on an emotional level. Has nothing to do with the product.
Yeah, I thought I remember hearing a couple of years ago, he actually released some of the patents that he had to the general public so other people could get in the market and boost the entire market up.
Yeah.
Which I guess is pretty smart.
Yeah, he's a smart dude.
So let me ask you this. What sort of actionable advice could you share with our listeners that they can implement today to help them attract and retain more customers?
Actionable advice, I would say, is to fill out, take a sheet of paper out or a whiteboard, how and what. The what you do will be very easy to fill out, but the how you do it, I want you to fill it out. How do you do it? How long do customers wait to talk to you? Do they have to leave a voicemail and then you'll get back? Do they have to go through an online ticketing system? When they leave a ticket, is there an acknowledgement or an ETA? All of that stuff, and think of my sandwich shop story. Put yourself in the your customer's point of view, and I want you to fill out that how we do it thing. And don't fool yourself. It really is 50 points what you do, 50 points how you do it. You will find, you're going to find a punch list a mile long of new projects to do if you were to just list out how you currently do things. And there's going to be a ton of projects in there. And there is a ton of value in terms of repeat business. Because I call it 70%. When you're scoring 70%, meaning when you add up what you do and how you do it, what your score is, if you're over 70%, you start getting into the area in your client's mind of, why would I go anywhere else? Like, it makes no sense. What they do is great. How they do it is great. I am now relieving myself of this decision every time I have to fly or every time I have to buy new shoes or new pants. That decision is off my plate, and that is loyalty. So try to give yourself a score of, you know, on a scale of 0 to 50, what's your what score? And then 0 to 50, what's your how score? And there you go. There's your baseline, and get that score up. The higher that score goes, the more repeat business.
Awesome. Guy, that is fantastic advice. I mean, this is probably one of the best episodes that I think I've ever done in terms of people being able to really take that actionable advice and do something for themselves and their business that would make a marketable difference for sure. I want to thank you for coming on.
Pleasure.
So if listeners want to get a hold of you, what's the best way they could do that, Guy?
Go to umalt.com/, I believe we're going to have a subdomain, and I have to look that up. I'm sorry. You can edit this. Here, hold on. Or I don't know if you can. Hold on.
We can, but we won't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to look up what we made you a page. Umalt.com/, it'll be in your show notes. Sorry about that.
Okay. Probably loyalty. or the
is it loyalty? Okay, let's make it loyalty. Umault.com/loyalty. UMAULT.com/loyalty. There you go.
Awesome. All right. So listen, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank our listeners for being loyal listeners, investing some of their valuable time with us. If you feel you received value from the show, we would appreciate a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. If you think you know someone else who might receive value from listening to this podcast, please do share. To reference this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.